Hello again, friends. As I have been praying and contemplating these scriptures, the question arises, how does this change me? How does this message change the way I see the world, the way I understand God and my own calling, the way I approach my days and the coming week? For me, part of the importance of the prophets is the reminder that God sees. God cares. God judges. Each day, the news is full of terrible things being done. Lies, greed, violence by those in high places who appear to be getting away with rampant injustice. We feel powerless, distressed, anxious. As people who profess faith in God, as followers of Jesus, how is our experience of these terrible times different, changed by the good news? It is an act of faith to assert, believe, trust that God is in charge, that justice will prevail, that goodness will be stronger than evil. Frankly, it looks like foolishness to believe this. The foolishness of the cross is that government violence killed the Prince of Peace and called it justice. And yet God had something much bigger planned. The death of one man was not the end of hope, but a revelation of the pattern of resurrection. That God chooses the weak to shame the strong. And we have experienced the miracle of Jesus' saving work in our lives 2,000 years after the empire appeared to have won. So rather than wringing my hands in distress at the latest news or being paralyzed by yet another atrocity, I turn to God, asking for mercy, begging for justice, believing that God will prevail. And then I ask to be shown my part. What is the action that I can take to be an agent of God's mercy and justice? How do I follow in the way of Jesus today? In today's gospel passage from Matthew 5, Jesus stated that the good news in a way that seems like foolishness to our ears. Blessings for being poor in spirit, for mourning, for being meek. The message puts it this way. When Jesus saw his ministry drawing large crowds, he climbed a hillside. Those who were apprenticed to him, the committed, climbed with him. Arriving at a quiet place, he sat down and taught his climbing companions. This is what he said. You're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there is more of God and his rule. You're blessed when you feel you've lost what is most dear to you. Only then can you be embraced by the one most dear to you. You're blessed when you're content with just who you are. No more, no less. That's the moment you find yourselves proud owners of everything that can't be bought. You're blessed when you've worked up a good appetite for God. He's food and drink in the best meal you'll ever eat. You're blessed when you care. At the moment of being careful, you find yourselves being cared for. You're blessed when you get your inside world, your mind and heart put right. Then you can see God in the outside world. You're blessed when you can show people how to cooperate instead of compete or fight. That's when you discover who you really are and your place in God's family. You're blessed when your commitment to God provokes persecution. The persecution drives you even deeper into God's kingdom. Not only that, count yourselves blessed every time people put you down or throw you out or speak lies about you to discredit me. What it means is that the truth is too close for comfort and they are uncomfortable. You can be glad when that happens. Give a cheer even, for though they don't like it, I do, and all heaven applauds. And know that you are in good company. My prophets and witnesses have always gotten into this kind of trouble. Let me tell you why you are here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. Matthew 5, 1 through 16 from The Message. Yesterday, I had the incredible experience of gathering more than 15 Black leaders from our community to be trained as facilitators for Circles of Repair, Intergenerational Multiracial Explorations of Reparations, in our fellowship hall with Rhonda Hill, founder of Race and Faith from Milwaukee. This was twice as many people as we thought possible when Pastor Michael of First Mennonite and Reverend Terrence of Bethel and I wrote the Healing Illinois grant. God has already done much more than we could have imagined, and I do feel blessed that we are able to participate in God's work of repair and justice. Meanwhile, folks in our own fellowship are coalescing to form a nonviolent resistance working group to join with other congregations to assist immigrants following the biblical call of mercy and justice, remembering that we too are immigrants and strangers. Next month, among other things, I will be working remotely to carry forward the Generation to Generation Reparations Pilot Project as we move into the phase of gathering data on the impact of this work on our congregation, on the recipients of the education savings investment accounts, and on the community as we witness to this work in other settings. I am reminded of the words of the song, "And the Father Will Dance." Do not let your hands fall limp, for Yahweh your God is in your midst. Where does that line come from? I Googled it. It is from Zephaniah. The prophet continues in Zephaniah 3, verses 16 through 17. On that day, it will be said to Jerusalem, "Do not be afraid, Zion. Do not let your hands fall limp. The Lord your God is in your midst, a victorious warrior. He will rejoice over you with joy. He will be quiet in his love. He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy." And so, though we may appear foolish in the world's way of wisdom, we trust and believe that God's foolishness is wiser, and that God's weakness is stronger than the world's strength. The God of justice sees, righteousness will prevail. Like the generations before us, we call out to God and we ask for strength and courage to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God. I'd like to close with Psalm 146, which was assigned in the Catholic lectionary today as our words of encouragement and hope. Praise the Lord. Let my whole being praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord with all my life. I will sing praises to my God as long as I live. Don't trust leaders. Don't trust any human beings. There's no saving help with them. Their breath leaves them. Then they go back to the ground. On that very same day, their plans die too. The person whose help is the God of Jacob, the person whose hope rests on the Lord their God, is truly happy. God, the maker of heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them. God, who is faithful forever, who gives justice to people who are oppressed, who gives bread to people who are starving. The Lord, who frees prisoners. The Lord, who makes the blind see. The Lord, who straightens up those who are bent low. The Lord, who loves the righteous. The Lord, who protects immigrants, who helps orphans and widows, but who makes the way of the wicked twist and turn. The Lord will rule forever. Zion, your God, will rule from one generation to the next. Praise the Lord.